back again, and this time with Colin Stair, proprietor of Stair Galleries here in Hudson, New York on Warren Street. And he's here to talk about a new venture he's undertaking and whatever else we feel like talking about.
Sure.
So welcome.
I'm an auctioneer, so I could just keep talking.
That's right. And Colin just reminded me that he had been on the radio following his father, who was also on the radio with Alan Chartok.
Yes,
it?
I suppose we were ceremoniously let go from NPR, so you better be careful.
Uh-oh.
They just stopped calling and didn't want us anymore.
But it was a call-in show about antiques.
It was, and it was sort of silly if you think about it. Somebody picks up the phone and calls and says, I have a, and you sort of have to. So it was a lot of entertainment, I suppose, and inexpensive entertainment for them.
Yeah.
So it was popular. People loved it.
Right.
Cool.
Well, first of all, let's take a little trip down memory lane, a little history about Stair Galleries and how it started and where it started and all of that.
Well, I guess we moved here in the late 70s. And
we is?
Parents, father, stepmother, brothers, various relatives. And in the 80s, my father worked for Sotheby's Restoration, and I went to work for him in the mid-80s. And one weekend, he decided to buy Sotheby's Restoration North, we called it lovingly, and that was on Maple Avenue in Claverick, and we ran that until 2000. It was a division of Sotheby's. We had a shop in New York City, about 30 restorers, and in 2000, Sotheby's was having some tough times and really wanted to get out of a lot of small businesses, so I sort of put my hand in the air and said, I'll go. You know, first round they had severance money, and I was able to purchase the property out in Claverick. And
so that was just a restoration business,
That
though,
was
right?
just a restoration business. But,
do you,
you know,
still have it?
I still do run that business. Somebody called Nigel Thomas, who's incredibly capable, who I hired in England, and he moved here, and then he moved back, and then I got him to move back here again, runs that business, and it's gone on to flourish. We used to run our auction business there, and we would catalog, photograph, and take in all the property there, move it to the Elks Club in Hudson, sell it at the Elks Club.
Oh, I remember that.
Move in on a Thursday after the bingo games, move in after Saturday night. The whole thing was exhausting. But we kept our fixed costs down. We were in Hudson, always looking for another building. And the restoration business has gone on to flourish. We just finished a 3 or 4 year project with the United Nations, and we restored all the woodwork in the General Assembly and all the major conference rooms there, which was exciting. It was $1 billion restoration job of the entire campus. So,
the United Nations?
Yeah. So we hired 20 people, primarily from Germantown, youngsters. And,
great.
You know, we sifted through a bunch, and some stayed with us, and it went on for 8 months of intense work, so we staffed up. We have 3 to 5 people there full time, and then we bring on people and we have subcontractors.
But you had to go to New York, to United Nations, to do this work. You can't
export
it.
We bluffed ourselves. Sorry, Skanska, the United Nations. We bluffed ourselves through the entire process. We would sit there and pretend that we knew what they were talking about with this, you know, request for proposal, RFP, and all of these terms. And, you know, it all worked, and it was a great job, and we made a little money, and we got – it's. I think if I look back and if I drag my kids around somewhere, I've got to work at the White House, the Capitol, interesting places. This is the
awesome. Cool,
this is the coolest.
That's really cool.
So, and then fast forward, the auction business was humming along in 2006. We found the building at 549 Warren, came on the market thanks to my friend Dave Petrovsky, who reported, here it is, bought it the same day. Tried to anyhow, and gone on to flourish. We had our first sale there in probably 2007. It was successful, and we've been having 15, 16 sales a year since.
It's a beautiful building, too.
Yeah, there's about 15 people that work there full-time, photographers, administrators, mm-hmm. specialists, paintings, decorative arts, fine arts. The auction business and the antique business is changing, so we're trying to stay.
Is it going more online?
No, the value level has gone down tremendously.
Really?
You know, it used to be worth $10,000 and a piece of Georgian furniture or American furniture is now worth $1,000 or $1,500 or nobody wants it, period. So it's really weird. But other markets, Southeast Asian, Russian, jewelry, platinum, you know, gold, scrap metal prices were strong and they've gone down. Southeast Asian, and a modern and contemporary, which we do 3 or 4 sales like that a year. And so we've ended up there quite happily. I pretty much keep my nose out of, you know, all the local stuff. And We lived in Hudson in the 80s, and we moved out to the country in the 90s.
Where do you live now?
Livingston, just off of Route 9G.
And you're on the river, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, we're at a nice yeah. place on the river. It came up, and it's one of those houses that you think, boy, it'll be nice to live there one day, and now we got to live there one day.
Great.
So
wonderful.
It worked out. But, you know, I raised my kids here. I put them through the Hudson City School District for a while, and, you know, we've always been here and had friends here from farmers to antique dealers to new people that have moved here in the last 10
yeah.
years. So it's really been interesting. I can't even keep pace of who's coming where.
I can't either. You know, I've always kept this running list of every business on Warren Street.
Forget
I've
it.
You can't do it.
No. It's,
you know, every day there's a new business someplace.
Yeah, and you know, businesses are virtual. People are just, you know, working from home, running companies, doing
right.
things. It's really hard to keep track of what's going on these days.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do or if you do, but I try, and you know, it's a great place to work.
Well, you've also been very generous with letting other organizations, including WGXC, use your
yeah.
space for various fundraising parties or
you know,
celebrations.
Sarah Kendall, when she helped start this place, was an amazing lady and still
oh,
is
yeah.
obviously an amazing lady. And I couldn't say no, so I think we paid for a chunk of this stuff here at some point. I gave her some seed money to start
yeah.
with, and I asked her, you know, what would you like to look like in 5 years? And it's kind of resembling that, and it's... You know, we used to have a local radio station here, and when there was a fire, they'd send out a van and they'd crank up an antenna and report live from the scene. And I thought that was the coolest thing. So I thought the idea of a local radio station would be amazing.
Yeah, I can say this because I'm not I'm just a programmer who comes in once a week. I think the station does a great job of having so many different voices expressed on the station.
Absolutely.
So.
And the music is fun, and it's different, and it's always something different.
Yeah, I know.
So, which is
it's
great.
Good. Variety.
And no predictability here.
Today we're doing Warren Street, kind of.
Yeah.
Warren Street businesses.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I saw this press release you put out yesterday.
Yeah.
So this is hot off the computer. That you're buying the building next door.
Yeah, for lots of reasons, I suppose.
I mean, next door to your auction place.
You know, in the country, when you have a farm, which my father had, and, you know, you had 100, 150 acres, and 50 acres came up next to you, you would do everything you could to buy that 50 acres.
Right.
Protection. So in a certain way, you know, certain forces moving around town buying things at certain prices at certain moments, and you don't want certain things to happen next door to you. You know, there's that has been weighing on my mind very heavily. So for that,
what, you don't want the topless bar next to you?
That, I'm less worried about that than other things. You know, a homeless shelter,
right.
maybe you're not right there or something, or whatever else is, you know, happening.
Lurking around.
So, you know, I also meeting people sometimes twice and three times a day that are moving here and they want to start a business. And there's no place to
right.
have nice office space. And to segue away from that, and in the basement of that building, Mid-Hudson Cables, high-speed fiber optic dead ends in that building. So the fastest cable internet that exists in Columbia County is in that building.
Wow.
So as part of their rent, we're going to swap services. So all the tenants are get basically free, you know, internet connection. And then if they need more bandwidth, they can build up on top of that. But
do you have any room for a radio station
sure,
there?
Sure. I think there's a nice rooftop there, actually. We could do something, you know. Great reception.
We're always looking around.
And I think there's just... It's not going to make any money for a little while based, you know, because we had to pay modern-day prices. And, you know, I'd talked to Mr. Crawford about it for some time.
Oh, Crawford Engineering
Crawford
is in the building.
Crawford Engineering owns the building, yeah.
Oh, they own the building,
they
I
own
see.
The building.
And they're selling.
It's been on the market for a little over a year. It came off the market formally, and then I started talking to David about it.
And where are they moving?
I'm not really 100% sure as of yet as to where they're going. We haven't really gotten to that kind of conversation.
It's the building where Noonan Antiques was on the first floor.
Yeah. So there's a great retail space on the first floor, and then I'm hoping to build offices on the second and third floor. I've got Farrell Blake, if you know him, around
mm-hmm.
town, and his
mm-hmm.
architect partner working on plans. We've had two meetings, so you've really got to go fast, and we've got to get in front of the Historic Preservation Committee because we need a new pair of doors. The ones that are there are just hardware store bought.
Right.
And we've got to come up with some minimal signage, so I want to keep that moving as quick as possible.
Yeah.
So we're working hard at that stuff. And luckily, they're mechanical engineers, so all the mechanicals are there. The electric is all there.
Great.
So all that sort of expensive stuff. So it's a lot of, you know, cosmetics and flooring, and some of all the ceilings have dropped ceilings. And there's another 5 feet of ceiling height on the first floor when you take that out.
Wow.
So it's going to change dramatically.
Yeah. It's one of those, it's probably one of those old department stores.
It was,
isn't
it? Marsh and Bachman. And then and right next door is, you know, we were sort of more furniture, our building in the department store era here through the 50s and 60s. And then a little later, actually. And then upstairs, his building was more of dry goods and department store.
So Marsh and Bachman rings a bell with me because.
I don't believe that is me. I don't believe that's part of my bloodline.
No relation.
Janet Marsh is Jake's mother.
My mom, yeah.
I think I got my first mortgage from your mother, as a matter of fact. Yeah. So that makes sense.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah. And what was it called? Marsh Department Store?
I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it was owned by Marsh, but I don't believe it was Marsh and Bachman. It was a convenience store.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for the thought, though, Ellen.
Yeah, I was just trying to
very kind.
Make a connection there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, we'll hopefully generate some office spaces and kind of, we're calling them work loft spaces.
Mm-hmm.
In an ideal world, the second floor might be second floor gallery space for a couple of dealers.
Uh-huh.
And the third floor would be the office space. And the fourth floor, there's a small section. Farrell and I are talking about whether that's a communal kitchen or a little more office space.
Mm-hmm.
First thing to do, I'd recommend anybody buying a building in Hudson, just sit down and have a nice, polite conversation with Craig Hay, the building inspector. Incredibly helpful.
Good idea.
Nice guy. Tell him what your plans are so you don't have all these problems 6 months down the
road.
A little communication goes a long way.
Yeah.
So they've been incredibly supportive. Everybody in the city is, you know, we don't ask for much. I don't want much. But when we have a problem, everybody works to solve it, which is kind of refreshing.
You know, and it seems to me in Hudson you can find any, no matter what the need is, there is a person who's kind of an expert.
You've got to find the guy. You know, when we had parking problems that were so frustrating, you know, our police commissioner, who was an awesome guy, he said, look, just do this, this, and this. And I was like, oh, that makes perfect sense. We'll do that. Thank you.
When I was working on the quadricentennial in 2009, I remember Tom, who lives across the street from me, was an old marketing guy, and he was interested in the subject, so he came on board very early, and he had great ideas, and we needed an illustrator. I said, oh, Arlene Baum is just three blocks away, and
it
all comes together.
Yeah. No, I've done a bunch of other buildings and a house recently, and I have five old buildings in Claverick that are constantly needing something, so I've got a great plumber, an electrician,
you have a staff.
General contractor. Well, you know, we've done this before. We'll all get along, and
it
has to be done quickly. You know, this is a cost center right now. We need to turn it into a break-even center minimally.
Right, right.
You know, money's still not that cheap these days, and, you know, I've never bought a building that's not entirely rented out, so it's like buying a business that's only half started.
Mm.
So we have the foundation of it, so it's just money out, no money in. So it's a little bit scary, which makes it a little bit more exciting. So that's where we're going with that building, I think. And it's a gem of a building. You know,
it's a beautiful building.
That front, you know, barrel vaulted sort of ceiling in the front, I think I probably have the wrong name for it specifically, is beautiful. And, you know, we're going to put some glass inside when you walk in, and the ceilings will be higher and a nicer pair of doors. And, you know, I put the word out a little bit, and somebody's already, I've been emailing somebody in Hong Kong who has interest in starting an architectural, outdoor architectural sort of business there. And she wants to do something there, and she's a fashion person as well. So, you know, where's the next Etsy going to go that moves here? Hopefully, maybe.
That's a smaller version,
one to 10 people.
You know, there are these hidden businesses all over the place.
Okay, every time I go to a party and I meet somebody doing something else, I met some folks that do classes at their house, and they teach people how to make things. You know, they come take these courses. It was fascinating.
Yeah.
So I think there'll be more of that stuff as we go forward.
Right.
You know, I mean.
Definitely. But, you know, also at the same time, rents are going up
on
Warren Street. I don't know about
that's a problem. You know, that's a real problem. And, you know, people here in the pay scale, I like to think, you know, that we pay a little more because I expect a lot more. But still, some of my staff members are having a harder time making do with the rents here are getting expensive.
And there are all these young people moving from Brooklyn. I guess they you know, we're expanding. State Street and Columbia Street are really changing drastically as we speak.
They sure are. People are buying houses. Things are going on. But you know what? Frankly, we know the root of that problem. There's somebody in town that owns a tremendous amount of buildings, and they're all sitting there empty for no reason.
Right.
And no matter how hard I've tried to buy, now three of them, we were shut out of those buildings by somebody with a deeper pocketbook or no care for what may be in the ground. And there's, they'll just buy buildings and, you know, close on them in 30 days and pay cash.
I know. That's hard to beat.
So it really is hard to beat. But to what end? And we're not sure what's all happening yet. So we'll see.
Right.
We'll see what happens. But if we could free up some of those buildings and build some spaces, that would be amazing.
It really would be.
You know,
be.
And we're going to stunt the growth of this city, I think, if we don't do things like that.
Are these going to be work
all
live
workspaces?
Spaces?
Yeah, one thing, I own some residential stuff, and I'm sort of finicky, so I took really, really good care of them. They were in Athens and Coxsackie. And it's just having somebody living in a building 24 hours a day is different than having somebody in a commercial space
so you're,
8 to 10 hours a day.
These spaces are not going to be
these
work
are gonna,
live.
This is going to be just workspace.
Yeah.
Just workspace. And you're right. You know, for that building to be X amount of dollars, there's a formula that I learned from a partner friend of mine. And he's like, look, it's got to, if you're, it costs this, it's got to make over that. You know, when you pay it off, you make a little more. But it's hard to make the numbers work. It's really just a numbers game of figuring out what your rents are and what your costs are, and you want to make a profit above and beyond that, hopefully.
Right.
Hopefully. So,
well, you know, it's interesting. I think about when the proprietors came here. They were the first entrepreneurs.
Sure, sure.
They were businessmen. They were adventurous.
Right.
They
saw natural resources in a river and a place to ship things, and I think that was... But it was protected and, you know, away to the water. So that was an interesting concept for them. And then they could ship things over land.
Right.
So it was, you know, it's an interesting place. Yeah.
Well, they even prefabricated their houses.
Yeah.
Or took their houses and knocked them down and brought them with them and reconstructed them when they got here.
I went to Nantucket a few years ago, and part of the interest there was, like, find out what we could find out about Hudson. I think I found one sentence in the Marine Museum there. Oh, and some people went to Hudson Inn, whatever year it was. Full
and
stop.
The rest is
that
history.
Was the end of it,
right.
And, go elsewhere for the history.
You know, you wonder what this place is going to look like in 5 years.
Yeah,
that's
That's the curious spot.
It's going to be interesting.
It's people cheek to jowl here. Katrina and I, when we go out to eat dinner, we're going to like Tivoli.
You mean so you can find a table?
Well, yeah, which is great. I couldn't be happier for my restaurant brethren and everybody filled to the gills. Not a criticism, but you know, it's really, really busy, which is great. And there's people all over the streets. I when we're not open, I think I should start a lemonade stand or something and try to make some money here. You know, I don't know, sell something because, you know, we're event-based. I basically have 14, 15 days a year to make all of our income.
Right.
So we put all our eggs
in. The pressure's on.
The pressure's on those days. So people are like, oh, what's wrong? It's going to be a good sale. It's like, well, you don't know that. It's a nail-biter every single time.
Yeah.
Whether it's a small Friday night sale or... A 2-day big event sale for us.
Right.
So it's an exciting business, never a dull moment.
And this new venture sounds really great and just what's needed, it seems to me, at this point.
I think so. But, you know, I had this idea, okay, so it's not fully fleshed out yet because I haven't sat down with a calculator and a big piece of paper, that if I could give people sort of like 20% off in the first year, new businesses... Like, okay, your rent would be, say, $1,000 this year, but next year it's going to have to be $1,200, which is closer to market rate, you know, hypothetical figures.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just get over that first year of starting that business, and then hopefully you know, try something like that, you know, for newer businesses, rather than have somebody sign a five-year lease and a year later trying to wiggle out of it. You know, so
yeah.
Depends if they're established or if they need it. And
Have you been a landlord before?
Oh, yeah. I rent out buildings in Claverick. I have a personal trainer out there, a writer, an antique dealer. We rented out part, and I have some other things that I rent out. And I own a building on 4th Street, which is a great old cabinet shop, an 18th century building, I believe. Where Dennis Wedlick, the architect, is.
Oh, yeah.
And also Rob from Musica. So
that's your building.
Yeah, we own that building. Yeah, so
that used to be part of...
it was the supermarket,
was mill,
Johnny and
it?
Ashton. It
uh-huh.
was, yeah, Travers Woodworking Shop,
yes.
I believe was the name.
I don't know if you know the big house at the end of Willard Place.
They made all the woodwork for that.
Yes.
And they made all the woodwork for my gallery, and they made all the woodwork
really?
For my house out of Cypress.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
So he had one of those... Don Christensen,
yeah.
had mm-hmm. one of the catalogs from their woodworking shop.
Yeah.
So it's great stuff. I have it in two of my... It's kind of neat to, you know, own the building where the stuff was made and then own the
right.
building it was made for. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So
well,
we're having fun there.
A lot has happened since I've been here, which is 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
no, I mean...
I just happened to come here when it was all, you know, just festering up. There were a number of antique stores, and we thought, wow... 30 antique stores, that's a lot.
Yeah,
now
well,
it's like doubled, if not.
We were out
that.
In Claverick restoring expensive furniture and works of art, and we would come here maybe Sunday mornings for the diner, and then we'd have to either go to Tivoli, to the Santa Fe, or maybe Gozel's, or maybe what else is in Kinderhook, something like that, Carolina House.
Oh,
and
right.
And there was like, that was it. If you wanted
here
to go
there was the Paramount.
The Paramount was here, I guess. Yeah.
And Carol Clark's restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
The Paramount, what was that?
It's where Daba is now, and before that it was where Baba Louie's is, I think.
Which no, Baba Louie's was the Charleston.
Was the Charleston, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And there was a little kind of hole in the wall place which had great takeout food up, what is it called, Park Place.
Right. Right.
Near
and there
the
was the Pizza
old
Pit down by
oh,
Red
yeah,
Knot, which
that
was
good
really
pizza.
Good, really good pizza.
The Pizza Pit.
The Pizza Pit.
I've heard of
which
that.
Which is a fun place. So, yeah, no,
it
it's
was really great.
It's a great time to get marinated in Hudson, I guess. You know?
Yeah.
So,
right.
I mean,
well, I don't want to say good luck. In the theater, one doesn't say good luck. You say break a leg. I don't know what you say to an antique dealer.
I don't know. You know, build it and they will come, I guess.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know.
I'll take that.
We, you know, I wouldn't. I have the majority of my life savings or my investments. I don't own stocks and bonds in buildings in this town. So I, like everybody else, I think, who owns buildings is very, very, very vocal. And we're just hopeful this all going to work out.
Right.
You know. So we're sort of stay involved when we can.
Well, thank you for coming to talk with us
sure.
about all these
yes,
things.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And
no
come back anytime.